Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
ChatGPT, it's the big talked about tech innovation of the moment. And on the back of it, a new Therapist GPT application has been launched. The technology allows people to type how they're feeling and then receive advice from the chatbot, with the warning from the service that it's not an actual therapist or mental health professional of any kind. Well, for more on this, we're joined here by Brendan Kelly, who's Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin. And you're welcome, as always, Brendan, to the show this evening. What do you think of this? Does it have some merit?
Yeah, this is a very interesting development, really. I mean, it's worth repeating that this is not a therapist. It's not a qualified mental health professional. And this therapist GPT is absolutely no substitute for talking to a GP, for talking to a psychologist, for talking to a psychiatrist, and it shouldn't be treated as such. That said, it is interesting, and it's certainly not without promise. And the way it works is you just go to the website and you type in your symptoms. So to give you an example, I typed in that I wash my hands 20 times per day. So that's a lot of hand washing. And, you know, that kind of compulsive behavior might be something that we would associate with obsessive compulsive disorder, but we would obviously have a much longer conversation before even mentioning such a possibility with the person. What the therapist GPT does in response to that, I wash my hands 20 times per day, it immediately gave me a response that said, it sounds like you may be struggling with obsessive compulsive disorder. And it went on to talk a little bit about that condition. So It does seem to take what you put in, and then it moves really quite quickly to suggesting perhaps a condition that you might or might not have.
Okay, so what are the potential dangers with that then? And I do want to talk about the potential positives as well, but with that, because it's a really good example. Or are there potential dangers with that, do you think?
Yes, I mean there are. You know, when someone has a symptom like that, it really needs to be placed into the context of their life, what else they're feeling, what else is going on. And also, you know, in real life, when you talk to someone who tells you a symptom like that, you might think obsessive compulsive disorder is possible, but you would focus on building up a relationship with the person, trying to understand them a little bit more and build up a therapeutic relationship from that point on. And sometimes rushing to even suggest a possible diagnosis isn't tremendously helpful. Some people do find it helpful, but many people find these sort of labels, if they're introduced very quickly and without a context, to be a little bit disempowering. It's like we're not valuing the individual and we're moving straight to a label. So, you know, it can be helpful to hold back a little bit and discuss things a little bit more before bringing out terminology like that.
It could frankly be dangerous, couldn't it, Brendan? Because you're alluding to what we discussed, something we discussed in the programme yesterday, that mental illness can sometimes be can very often be on a continuum. And it's not that you reach a point and you're X or Y. But this could make you X or Y. It could diagnose you as such, and that could be detrimental, could it not?
Yeah, it certainly could be upsetting to see something, you know, so immediately presented. Now, in fairness, it does say it sounds like you might be struggling with obsessive compulsive disorder. But, you know, even producing this terminology so quickly, it's certainly something we would hang back from a lot. Because as you correctly say, there is a continuum of experience. And sometimes people, you know, they have habits that they are not troubled by at all. So, for example, when I say I wash my hands 20 times a day, I'm a doctor and I wash my hands between seeing every patient.
You'd hope so.
It's actually quite a good thing that I wash my hands 20 times a day.
So what are the benefits then, I wonder?
Well, in fairness to the application, it does say very clearly that it is not an actual therapist. And it concludes its warning by saying therapist GPT may inadvertently give harmful advice. So I suppose the first thing is it does have this disclaimer. Also, it does provide quite useful information about obsessive compulsive disorder, but it's very, very general about challenging your thoughts and then maybe going to seek support from a mental health professional. So I think it functions as a way of getting general information, but not so much personalized information or heavens above, personalized diagnosis. It's a very long way from that.
Yeah, I tried it with a couple of different things. And the most recent one was, I said, I'm trying to buy a new house and I'm worried it's going to be too expensive. And it came back with, you know, it sounds like you're going through a lot right now, which is sort of interesting. But then it says, as for buying a new house, it's essential to set a budget that you're comfortable with and stick to it. You don't want to put yourself in a financial situation that's too difficult to handle. It suggests that I should try talking to a financial advisor or a real estate agent. And then it suggests that I practice some relaxation techniques to manage my stress. And it gives me some examples like deep breathing and mindfulness and things like that, which, as you say, it's quite generalized, but not unhelpful.
Yes, indeed. Oh, heavens, it's big into the mindfulness. It keeps, no matter what I put in, it seems to recommend mindfulness.
Like yourself, Brendan.
Oh, indeed. I strongly recommend mindfulness, although it's not the answer to everything. I did give it some other things. I said, I sometimes see ghosts. And it said it's not uncommon for people to have experiences they interpret as sensing or seeing ghosts or spirits, but there it may be a sign of mental illness or anxiety or depression and so on. And again, I mean, that's very quick to move into the medicalized terminology, in my view. People who see ghosts, you know, there can be all kinds of cultural and reasonable explanations. They might be good, they might be bad. And certainly for unusual experiences, we tend to really hold back from the diagnostic terminology, because life is full of people who have odd, unusual or eccentric experiences, and we're not all mentally ill.
Okay, so some great advice as always from yourself, Brendan. And just to remind listeners, it's good to have a conversation about what's happening out there online, but always seek professional advice on medical and mental health issues. Brendan Kelly, as always, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin. Thank you very much.